currently at social distance right now. There's only a few, and we've got a whole lot of space. So I believe we're social distancing as good as social distancing can get. It's good to see everyone tonight. I hope you came for a blessing. Hope you enjoyed this morning's message. I didn't realize I preached so long. I know YouTube said it was an hour and 26 minutes, and that's a problem because most CDs are only 80 minutes long. So those that I'm sending a CD to, I've actually got to send a DVD so that I could have more space. And Lord knows how to encourage, and so I've been working on that, getting that around. And hope you came for a blessing tonight. And we'll just see what the Lord has in store. If you've got your hymn book, turn to page number 30. Page number 30, nothing but the blood. And once again, sing out. I encourage you. I forgot to remind you this morning that if you'll sing louder at the house, I sound better. And so page number 30. And when you get there, let's stand for the singing. And we'll just enjoy what the Lord has in store here. Page number 30, nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. Be white as snow. But the blood of Jesus. All right, hold on a second. I can't get that tune. Jacob, keep playing there for a minute, but I was having trouble with it. I go back to my childhood days, show you some carnal side of the preacher. I think about all those, Laverne and Shirley, and all those that said that they were recorded in front of a live studio audience. And once you go live, well, there's no going back. It is what it is. So bear with me here. I'll get the tune in my head or get the key in my head, and we'll be all right. Amen. Here we go. Let's try it again. First verse now. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. On the second. For my pardon this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know than but the blood of on the last. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask Jacob to open us in prayer, and we'll get started.
saying, Father, I thank you for allowing us to be able to come to the house of God today, dear God, and be able to meet, dear God. We might all not be here together, dear God, but we're still able to hear your word that you had in store for us today, dear God. And I thank you for keeping us safe during this time, dear God, that we're living in. And I pray that you'll continue to keep us safe, dear God, because I know your will is in hand for all of us, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Take your hymn books, if you would. You may be seated. Take your hymn books. Turn to page number 19. Page number 19, there is a fountain. There is a fountain. Now, I know it's a long song. It's a good song. I want us to sing all five verses of it. We might even have to do a Brother Richard and sing a couple extras here and there. And we'll just see as the Lord leads. I definitely don't want to force anything, but I love this song. I'm thankful for that fountain. I know that some of you are going, well, preacher, we just sang about the blood a moment ago. Well, we're going to sing about the blood some more tonight. And I'm thankful, because if it wasn't for that fountain that flowed at Calvary, I'm thankful that he didn't spill any of his blood. It wasn't spilt at Calvary, because it was shed. It was on purpose. It wasn't an accident. And so I'm thankful for that fountain that flowed, that made me white as snow. And it's the only way we're saved, is by the blood of Christ. Amen. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. On the third, dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. On the last, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. Amen. I was thinking about that last verse, and I realize my old physical tongue, my old physical body will still be here and it will lie silent in the grave, but I'm thankful. I'll shout better. I'll sing better. I'll just have better praising opportunity and praising ability when we get to heaven. We definitely won't be silent when we're dead. I think so many times we silent up the church, but I'm thankful that this will be the quietest time we ever have when we think about being in the presence of the Lord. Because when we're really in His presence, boy, it's going to be a loud time. It's going to be a lot of shouting, a lot of hallelujahs, a lot of praising Him. And I know some believe that it's all about them when they get there, but I'm not sure they're going. And because it's all going to be about Him, and so I'm thankful for that. I do want to thank everyone for joining in with us tonight. And once again, I encourage you to promote this. Let people know, those that are on social media, post it all over. Let others know. Once again, I am trying to get 1,000 subscribers, and I think today we're at 85. And some of you are going, "Preacher, give up on it." Well, I'm not going to give up till we get to glory or God calls me home. And nonetheless, I'm going to glory either way. I won't care about subscribers. You can subscribe after I'm gone if you need to. But I'm thankful that God gives us the opportunity, but it sure would be nice to just push a button and be able to go live instead of having to go through and jump through some hoops, get some other things ahead and ready to go. And anytime you're relying on a third party, you're realizing that it's going to fail from time to time. And so I praise the Lord for the opportunity, but it sure would be nice to just push one button instead of five. And pastor's got to remember the sequence of them and able to do it. And I'm thankful that God gives us the opportunity to do it. I did start us a little early tonight as far as I turned it to where it was on live. That gives some folks an opportunity to come on. But it also gives, I saw that Brother Richard and Sister JoLynn had started talking a little bit, or at least saying some things. It gives you an opportunity, that 10 minutes that I started it, gives you an opportunity to kind of join in and chat back and forth with one another. I don't know who all's on there unless you do put something on, and I'm thankful for your faithfulness to the services. I know it's not the same. I know it's different. It's different for us here as well. But nonetheless, I'm thankful that we're still able to come together. And so I encourage you, I'll try to start it at least 5 minutes early every time. Gives you an opportunity to know it's there and that I'm here and doing what we're supposed to do. But also, it'll give you an opportunity to talk back and forth to each other. It might even be an opportunity to just be able to let them know that you're praying for them. And I was going to say that you could talk smack. I know Brother Richard, every time that we'd have service, he would be early. And you get Brother Richard and Brother Jacob and Brother Stephen, and it'd be a smack talking time. They'd all be talking trash to each other, but they love each other, and so it might be just a good time to let each other know that you love them, you're praying for them, and communication, as I had said from the very beginning of this, is going to be the key, is being able to communicate one to another, trying to let others know that you're still there, and listen, the preacher's trying to keep track of everyone. I'm trying to keep everyone in the fold, but sometimes I fall short, so I'm thankful you overlooked that, but I am thankful that we can let each other know that we care. Take your hymn books, if you would. 245, the old account was settled. Boy, I'm thankful. I remember that day, that spring day. It would have been back in 1978 that I trusted Jesus Christ to be my Savior, and a five-year-old boy, and I'm thankful that He saved me. And that old account was settled long ago, and I'm thankful that even if I live 100 years below, it's still settled. I never regret the fact that I got saved. I only regret that I haven't served Him more faithfully. I only regret that I haven't given Him more often. And I'll never regret getting saved. And so if you haven't got that old account settled, I'm thankful tonight is the night. You need to get that thing settled tonight. Amen. Here we go.
There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgive. Name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, my account was settled long ago. Hallelujah, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. The old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle. I settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, my old account was settled long ago. Hallelujah, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. On the third, when in that happy home, my Savior's home above, I'll sing redemption story and praise him for his love. I'll not forget that book with pages white as snow, because I came and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. Hallelujah! And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. On the last, oh sinner, seek the Lord, repent of all his sin, for thus he hath commanded you to enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, up there you'll not regret it, you settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. Hallelujah! And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. Amen. Amen.
Well, that's good singing tonight, church. I'm glad that you was singing along, and I hope that you came for more than the singing. I love to sing here lately, and it seems like the moment we add music to it, I sing awful. I sing a whole lot better in the shower in the car. I don't know what it is, but it's just how it works, and I'm thankful. In fact, I could probably record a CD if I had a shower with me and just sang in the shower and sang in the car. I don't know, but nonetheless, I'm thankful you joined in with me, and thankful to be here tonight. Just an opportunity to praise the Lord, and He is worthy to be praised. And I'm thankful that he loves to hear us sing to him, even when we don't get it right, even when we're off tune a little bit. He still loves it, and I'm thankful for that. My God's perfect, I'm not. And so I'm thankful he accepts me, and he loves me. Back over the book of Philemon, we looked at Philemon chapter 1, of course, verses 1 through 7, and it's kind of odd. There's not very many books in the Bible, and I didn't go and look them up how many. There's some minor prophets, of course, Jude, Philemon, that only have one chapter. They've only got a few verses in them. And I didn't look up how many there are, but it's kind of odd to not put a chapter with it and just put a verse. And so Philemon, we only look at the verses because there's no chapters. It's just automatically, it defaults, it's chapter 1. And so I'm thankful. Philemon, this morning we were in verses 1 through 7. I'd like to skip over to verse number 17. In verse number 17, the Apostle Paul is writing to Philemon, and he puts some things on here. Remember this morning I told you that Philemon is a precursor to the book of Hebrews. And I look here and just what God's doing. And in verse number 17, Let's stand, if you're willing and able, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Verse number 17 is where we'll pick up. Philemon, verse number 17, it says, "If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. And if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account." I'm going to go ahead and read verse number 19, because we're going to see it here a little bit later. It says, "I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand." I'm thankful. He put his own signature on there. "I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides." I think about that.
that God's put His own word on it. And He says, I will repay it. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day. I thank You, Lord. It's been a great day to be in Your house among Your people, Lord, even if we are through video screening. And Lord, the encouragement that I've seen this morning, Lord, through the services and just how You met with us and those that were on and the talking back and forth. Lord, it's an encouragement to this old preacher, Lord, to see that we don't have to come to the church house. Lord, that we can still have church. And Lord, we can still enjoy You and enjoy each other and just praise You. And Lord, just pray for each other. And Father, it's not because of the confines. I'm thankful I don't have a God in a box. And Lord, I pray You'd meet with us tonight as we look at this message. And Father, that You would really apply it to our hearts. That Father, I truly believe that most that would be listening tonight on a Sunday night would be Your children, and that we'd just come to that place that we'd be able to rejoice in what You're doing. And Lord, as we look back and we think about that old account being settled, that we could just shout for glory. Lord, as I think about the fact that there's nothing but the blood, oh, I'm so thankful for that fountain that flowed at Calvary, Lord, those 2,000 some years ago, Lord, long before I was ever thought of, long before I ever existed, You already knew that I needed a Savior, and You already came and You already paid everything that was necessary for me. And Lord, as I would just sit back, and tonight we're going to look at that in greater detail. Lord, what a blessing it is to be Your child. And Lord, how You've already put it all on Your account, how You've already said that You'll repay it, how You've already said that it's all on You. And Lord, that we just simply came and trusted. And Lord, I just praise You for it. And Father, help us tonight. Maybe there's one tonight that they don't know for sure where they're going to spend eternity. Lord, they have prayed some prayers, they have performed some acts, but they don't know what it is to have faith in You and know for sure without a shadow of a doubt that they're going to spend eternity in heaven. Lord, I pray that they would see that tonight. I pray, Lord, that it's not because of my word, Lord. I think about the Apostle Paul. He said, don't take it. It wasn't in the jailer's hand. It wasn't in some of those that was serving with him's hand, but it was in his own hand. He had wrote it. And Lord, I'm thankful. It's not, I'm just a messenger. It's not in what I can do. It's not in what I say, but I'm thankful it's in what You've done and how You said it from the very beginning. And Lord, I pray that they would see their need tonight before it's everlasting too late and come to Your saving grace. And Lord, we'll praise You for it. I just pray, meet with us tonight. Touch every heart that's out there in a special way. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We come to this passage of Scripture, and I'd like us to look at the value of this one phrase. Put that on mine account. On my account. Boy, I'm thankful for that. I think about the Apostle Paul saying it and the value that it had. And as Onesimus had taken it to Philemon, and Philemon would have read it. Now, I don't know that it wasn't sealed. I don't know that Onesimus even had a clue what was on it. I don't know that. And the Apostle Paul could have given him some encouragement on the way, but more than likely it would have been a sealed envelope. I think about the fact that I remember even now, you'll get something in the mail and it's sealed, and you look at it and you kind of try to figure out what it is. The other day I had ordered, it's official. When you go to a car oil changing place, they put this little sticker up there. Now, for years, the boys had kind of played with me, and they would be out at the shop with me, and they... Well, Jonathan made me a sign one year for Father's Day. It's probably been, I don't know, 10 years ago. And he had made me a sign, and it said Spencer and Sons. And that, don't get that mistaken with Sanford and Sons. But it was Spencer and Sons, and it was going to be, you know, he said, Dad, we could have a shop, and we could do this. And, well, I've got my shop up now, and so I've just got some finishing touches in it right now. The finishing touch seems to be my truck. But I've got it to where... I bought these little oil change stickers so that when I change the oil in our vehicles, we can put that on there and remember. Now, I didn't put Spencer and Sons on it. I thought about it, but you know your preacher's cheap. And so I got the cheapest ones. I think I got 200 of them or 100 and some of them for $5. And they're just oil change stickers. But you put that up there. But it was funny because it came in an envelope. And the envelope had tape, just a regular legal envelope. And the envelope had tape, and it was from Kansas, wasn't it? Kentucky? Illinois. All right, I'll get it. It was one of those. It was one of those 50 states. But the this envelope, it had tape on it. And it wasn't just taped this way. It was also taped this way. And I was like, all right. Is this anthrax through the mail? And I'm kind of looking at it, and I'm holding it up. And I can just picture Onesimus as he's taking this to Philemon. And it's a sealed envelope, and he's not even sure what's in it. But this is from Paul, and he trusts Paul, and he's going back to Philemon that he owes this great debt to. And he has no idea what it really says, and he has no idea the value that's in there just from this one phrase, "Put that on my account." And the Apostle Paul sends this, and what a value that would have been to Onesimus. What a value it would have meant to Philemon. And the fact that there was nothing that was going to fall short. Paul said that he would take care of anything that had fallen short. And what a value in that phrase. But may I tell you that Paul still would have fallen short. Paul received offerings. That's how he survived. Not to mention he's in prison at this point. How's he going to pay? How's he going to take care of that? But yet he said, put that on my account. I'll make it good. Now, to us today, if someone would come up and say, if you'd put his mortgage on my account. I remember an account. I don't remember the preacher. But he was driving down the interstate and he had seen a limousine that was having vehicle trouble. And it was pouring down rain that day, and he had stopped there to see if he could help. And the limousine driver had a flat. He had the trunk open. He's trying to get things out, and he's trying to get things around, and he's trying to get this tire changed, and he's having trouble. And so this preacher stops, and he's helping him change this tire, and he's getting everything around. And then when they get the tire back, the old tire back in the trunk, and get the trunk shut down, the window rolls down on that limousine. And it was President Trump way before he was ever president. And he had asked the man, he didn't have a clue, he was a preacher, didn't know who he was. He had asked him, he said, what can I do for you? And the preacher said, there's nothing. I don't need nothing. I just saw you was in need, and so I stopped to help. And so this preacher just said, left it at that. And Donald Trump had asked him, he said, well, can I at least send your wife some flowers? And he said, that's fine. Send my wife some flowers. And he got his address. Now, with that, he had went and he had found out where he lived, what he had owed on his mortgage, and he paid it off. And in the flowers that came was the deed for his place. Now you'd say, boy, and I know that preacher had went on and said that every time he's looking for a limousine every time he drives to see if it's broke down, to see if he could get his house paid off again or get something else paid off again. But you think about that and what the value would be. And Jacob comes up to mom and dad and says, Dad, I'm going to pay off the mortgage. That's going to be a value. I don't know why you're laughing so hard. But that's going to be a value. And so as we consider that value on the temporal, may I tell you what a great value it had when our Savior said the very same thing. If we were to really put it in a spiritual context, if I was to give you some theology in this, it would be the simple law of imputation. And not amputation, imputation. He has imputed His righteousness to us. He has imputed us. And so I think about 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 21. The Bible says, for he who knew no sin became sin for us that we may be made the righteousness of God through him. And so he paid all of our debt. He paid everything that we owe, and yet he gave us righteousness. May I tell you what Jesus said when he went to the cross of Calvary? When he said, it is finished, he said, put that on my account. Put that on my account. Now, I did some research, there's some requirements to have a credit line. There's an age requirement. There's a source of income requirement. There's a social security number requirement. And there's a positive credit history requirement. I think about verse number 9 of the book of Philemon. The Bible tells us, "Yet for love's sake I beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged." Now, I believe that age, it has a certain amount of respect that goes with it. And the I didn't say that wisdom, because there's some things that I've done in my older age that wasn't as any more wise than it would have been when I was younger. So the truth of the matter is age doesn't mean wisdom, but age does have a certain amount of respect that goes with it, Jacob. Certain amount of respect that goes with age, all right? And so we look here and we think about the Apostle Paul. Well, he had the age requirement for this credit line that he's extending when he said, "Put that on my account." I think about as well that source of income. You say, "Preacher, I thought you said that he was in prison. He's relying on the offerings and the care of others." Remember that their prison was not like our prison today. They didn't have cable TV. They didn't have three meals. They didn't have cots. They didn't have any of that. And even though he would have been on house arrest at the time, it wouldn't have been set up like our house arrest, where you could have went to the store and did everything else as long as you made it home by night. It wouldn't have been set up like that. But may I remind you that Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse 16, that God through the Apostle Paul reminds us about the riches of his glory. I think as well about the Social Security number. You say, "Preacher, how are you going to tie that in?" Well, the Social Security number that you get as a citizen of the United States, or as a being born here, we realize in that Social Security number, it means that you're counted among the citizens. And so I think about the Apostle Paul, he's counted among the brethren. And then we think about his credit history. Well, he said, "If you count me as a partner." And so therefore, he's part of the beloved brethren, but then as well, he's even more so, he's got a track record that goes with it. You say, "Well, preacher, what's that have to do with us? The Apostle Paul didn't say, 'Put it on my account.'" I'm glad you asked. Because when we think about the Lord, I think about Luke chapter number 2, the Bible says that he grew in stature with man and God. I think about our Lord. I think about the fact that it's his cattle. You want to talk about a source of income. And the Bible says that his father owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. God has everything. There's nothing that we have that God didn't give us. Remember that all good things come from above. And so I believe when God says, or when Jesus says, "Put that on my account," that he's got the ability to pay for it. I believe as well, when we think about the Social Security number, may I remind you that he was numbered among the transgressors. I find as well that positive credit history. Let me ask you a question. When's he ever failed you? Best credit history ever. When's he ever failed you? God's never failed you. The Bible tells us, of course, that he's never left us nor forsaken us, but may I tell you, he's never failed us. You know, the Apostle Paul had said, "I've written it with my own hand." But yet I think about God's Word. And I think about the fact that it tells us that Jesus Christ was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Before Adam was ever created, before this world was ever formed, Jesus was already going to the cross. I believe that that's a great credit history. And so I'd like to preach for just a little bit about "Put it on my account." First thing that I find is the sincerity for the statement. The sincerity for the statement. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, I believe that Onesimus had a part of this. You see, the same as we have a part of receiving salvation. You say, "Preacher, what's our part?" Well, we need to receive it in sincerity. I find a lot of people that are flippant. That means that they go back and forth, all right? I'm not using a euphemism there, but I find that they're flippant, that they just, the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And I look here and I think about how they don't have a change of heart. They don't even have a change of desire. They don't have a change in direction. And so there's something that goes to say here, there was a sincerity for the statement. And may I tell you that the sincerity wasn't in the Apostle Paul, but the sincerity that the Apostle Paul saw was in Onesimus. You see, it was the change in Onesimus brought the statement to be. The Apostle Paul would have never sent to Philemon this statement of, put that on my account. If Onesimus was the same thief and the same robber and the same just wicked man that he was when he left Philemon's house, he would have never sent that statement back. And you say, preacher, what do you mean? God accepts us where we are. I find that too many people want to keep their sin and want to add Christ. The problem that we have in our churches is the fact that we've become worldly. We've become worldly. Listen, I know you're going to say, preacher, what's the definition of worldly? YouTube doesn't have enough space for me to preach it right now. But I want you to understand it in the simplest terms. We've become more like the world than holy like God. We've accepted more of what the world says than standing on what God says. We've been okay with compromise. We know, thus saith the Lord, but when society accepts it, we've said it's really not that bad and we're going to go that direction. I want you to think about Onesimus for a moment. Onesimus was that slave or that servant that had deserted and had left his post, left where he was supposed to be, and he robbed at the same time, and he had went, and he ends up in front of the Apostle Paul. Now, you say, preacher, God designed it that way. May I tell you that Onesimus could have got saved right there in Philemon's house in church? He didn't even have to leave the house to go to church. Kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? I haven't read that there's a COVID-19 back in this day, but maybe it was a COVID AD 64. I don't know. But the truth of the matter is that there was a church there. It wasn't God's design and God's desire for him to stay a sinner. And so I look here and I find that he's changed. You say, preacher, how does Paul know that? Well, the Bible tells us here that Onesimus is now caring for Paul. May I tell you that the amount of pay and the amount of wages that he received for taking care of Paul while Paul was in prison? Zero. He didn't do it for money. He didn't do it for gain. He didn't do it for stature. He didn't do it for status. He didn't do it for anything of himself. He did it all for Paul and for the care that was there. May I tell you what's happened today? Is we have this idea that I'm going to keep my sin and I'm going to keep my same direction. And Bible teaches us, and we looked at this Wednesday night, but the Bible teaches us repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a problem that we have today when we say that I can keep having that same old lifestyle. May I tell you that the book of Ephesians teaches about the drunkards? It teaches about those that was lewd and the lewdness that they had. It teaches about those that had malice. It teaches about those that had profanity. It teaches about those that lied. And by the way, liars shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And the book of Ephesians teaches us that such were some of you. He says that they've in Ephesians 4 that they've taken off the old man and they've put on the new man. You say, preacher, but Jesus said that put that on my account from the very beginning. No. Hold on a second. The problem that we have is we think we can pray a prayer and not really mean anything, and then later I'm going to grow into Christianity. And I'm telling you, salvation takes at the moment that we really get serious with God. And we tell him that we're coming out of a heart of faith and sincerity. Now I know you're going to say, preacher, you're adding to it. No, hold on. When you really believe, you're sincere about what you really believe. Do you realize how many people, now there's plenty that believe wrong, but you realize how many people believe and they're very sincere about what they believe. I think about the terrorist act of 9/11. May I tell you how sincere they were? What were they sincere in and what they believed? You know what's happening today with Christians or so-called Christians? We're not really sincere. And we expect God to say, put that on my account and go out and continue to sin. No, it doesn't work that way. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible teaches. Take your Bibles, hold your place in Philemon. But look at the book before it, the book of Titus. The book of Titus. The book of Titus, I want you to look at chapter number 1. I want you to look at verse number 13. In Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 13. The Bible says, this witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in faith. Now, I want you to stay there now. I don't want you to turn. But over in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, it tells us about those that cannot endure sound doctrine. What's happening? Well, they're not able to have that sound. They're not sound in faith. They're not sound in doctrine. Why? What's going on? Notice this. Look at verse 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth unto the pure. All things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Look at this. Look at verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient and to every good work reprobate. Now that word reprobate means that rejected. Listen, they say that they know Him. They say, may I tell you that the Apostle Paul would have not sent Onesimus back to Philemon with a letter that said, put that on my account, if he didn't realize that Onesimus meant what he said. And there was a change that took place. Oh, listen to me. I know a whole lot of people that come for salvation that really don't mean it. What they mean is, God, I want out of this situation. What they mean is, God, don't really change me too much. Boy, I think about the old song. I loved it. I don't sing it. I don't know why. I just don't sing it. But it talks about going back to that old home. Talks about having a new daddy. Talks about having a new life. What's wrong with having a new life? Boy, it's amazing to me how often we want to justify that I'm saved by grace and not by the law. And we want to say I'm not under the law. I can do whatever I want. The Bible teaches me that all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. There's a whole lot of things. Oh, yeah, I can do whatever I want, and it's not going to change my salvation. But may I tell you that there is a chastisement that comes when I desire to disagree and disobey the Lord. There's a chastisement that's going to come. But may I tell you as well that I'm chastised because I'm His son, that I'm not a bastard. And you say, preacher, that's an awful word, and I can't believe you said that. Talk to God. That's His word. And so I think about what God's teaching here. There was a change that took place. There was a sincerity before there was ever a statement made like, put that on my account. Oh, did we come to God in sincerity, or did we just come because of the situation? And so I find as well, not just the sincerity for the statement, I find the size of the statement. As I was studying this out over in the book of Philemon, I just began to come at awe. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have all the finance. Listen, I quit my job less than a year ago. If I was to go and apply for a credit, they'd probably laugh at me because I don't have the credit line that I would have been able to have before. But may I tell you, even that credit line that I had or was able to have before, it still had a limit. You know, I began to look at this. Notice verse number 18. Look at this. I want you to understand the vastness of it. I want you to see here the size of this statement. I look and I find in verse number 18, he says, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Now hold on. If he wronged thee, do you realize how many ways he could wrong him? Do you realize how many ways he could fail? How many ways he could fall short? And yet as well it goes on and he says, if he owest or oweth thee aught. Now, I don't know how much an aught is. That some of you are going to get that later. That's really not an amount. That means that, well, it means if he owes you anything. It means whatever he owes you. It means anything. But then I look at the size of that. You say, preacher, what? Yeah, that. That. He says, put that on mine account. He means, he says that there's no limit to it. The Apostle Paul is saying here, look, it doesn't matter how much it is. May I tell you what my God said? It doesn't matter how many. It doesn't matter how bad. It doesn't matter how wicked. I can save you from all of it. I can cleanse from all. I think about the fact that it covered all the debt. That, anything, all of. I want you to look over in the book of Hebrews. Hold your place now in Philemon. If you get lost, you just turn back one book. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 9. I want you to notice this. I want you to look, and I think about those today, and I know that it's not like they're out there and they're still offering in the tabernacle. It's not like they're out there and they're still offering these animal sacrifices. I know the ones that do, it's witchcraft. If you're sacrificing a goat right now, something's not right, all right? But I look at this, and may I tell you that as much as they're not physically going out and doing it, they're still relying on something that they're doing. There's many that are relying on a church membership. It's never going to cover you. There's many that are relying on a baptism. It's never going to save you. There's some that are relying on some good works that you've done, and it's never going to be enough. But yet Jesus said, put that on my account. And so I look here and I think about Hebrews chapter 9. I want you to look at several verses here. I want you to look at verse number 7 and look at what they were doing. It says, but in the second, speaking about the second veil, it's the setup of the tabernacle, went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood. And he had the blood of the sacrifice, which he offered for himself and the heirs of the people. Now every year he had to go. But skip on down into verse number 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but, he said, put that on mine account. Because he said, by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. It wasn't for him. It was for us. He said, look, I've cleansed from all. It's not just covered. It's completely cleansed. He said, it's not an atonement that you're going to have to come back. It's an atonement that I'm bringing you back to God. He said, I'm sending you back to your master. He said, put that on mine account. Look at verse number 24. Verse number 24, for Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Say, preacher, what are you getting at? I told you a little bit ago that when he was on the cross, I told you this morning in the morning's message when he was on the cross, what he had said was, Father, forgive them. But may I remind you, that he also said it is finished. You see, when he said it is finished, it means that, put that on mine account. I've already paid for it. It's done. It's paid in full. I'm thankful when God the Father looks down on me, he doesn't see this old wicked sinner. He doesn't see this slave that was destined to die. He doesn't see that one that was servant to sin. He sees that one that was covered by the blood. He sees that one that Jesus said, put that on mine account, that I've paid for it all. And so I find the size of the statement. But then I look on and I find the security of the statement. I say, preacher, what do you mean? Onesimus couldn't fail. I want that to soak in for a minute. Onesimus could not fail. I want you to understand something. I don't know what I did with my envelope. I guess I'll grab another one here. Praise the Lord. Y'all are mailing them in, so I think about this envelope again. I look here, and boy, Onesimus, he brings it back to Philemon, and he hands it to Philemon, and he's standing there. I can just picture him. Philemon's opening it up, and he's reading it, and Onesimus, he's just standing there and not sure what's going to happen. Not sure what that letter says. Uncertainty. Boy, it sounds like today, doesn't it? Not sure everything that's going to go on. Not sure if he's even going to be accepted back. Not sure where he's going to lay his head. Not sure anything that's going to happen. And Philemon looks at him. And he says, you're no longer my slave. You're no longer my servant. You're now my brother. And Onesimus could have messed up time and time and time again. But it was not because Onesimus bringing the letter, but it's because the Apostle Paul became surety for him. You see, the Bible teaches us about surety. You ever been a co-signer? I think about Jacob and Jonathan, both of them, when they got their first vehicle. They paid for it, but it had to go in Dad's name, and they co-signed with me. It's kind of different how it works today, but they co-signed with me, and it goes on my name to where they can get the credit for it too, and therefore, well, I don't know if I was really surety for them, but it's their bill, and if they don't pay it, I have the ability to sell it. How's that sound? Amen. But we think about what the Apostle Paul's done. He said, look, put that on my account. It's security for Onesimus, because Onesimus could never fail. It all came back to the Apostle Paul. And I think about Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 18. The Bible says, a man void of understanding striketh hands and becomes surety in the presence of his friend. May I tell you that I can never fail. You say, preacher, what do you mean? It's not because I'm a perfect preacher that I know I'm going to heaven. You say, preacher, but you're saved and that's how you're going. Yeah, I know. But may I tell you how many times I've failed since 1978 and I've sinned against God? Wait, I can't. I don't even know if I can tell you how many times I've failed God in the last week. And I know some of you are going to go, preacher, man, I thought you was more spiritual than that. No, I believe every one of us, if we'd be honest enough, we've all failed God daily. And I try to keep a short list of that, and I try to repent. The Bible tells us that if we'll confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And I try to be faithful with that. And I try to keep that list very short. But may I tell you how many times I've fallen short, and I've never had to look back and see if it was still under the blood. But I knew, because He said, put that on mine account, that even the times that I've fallen short, it still went back on His account. I want you to look, and I know that we've been in the book of Hebrews and Titus. I want you to look at Hebrews again. I want you to look at chapter 7. Hebrews chapter number 7, I want you to look at this in verse number 22. I want you to see this. Hebrews 7 and verse number 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety. He said, preacher, what do you mean? He said, put that on mine account of a better testament. That better testament's the new covenant, the New Testament. I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. I'm under the one that Jesus signed in His handwriting, in His blood. And He said, put that on mine account. It's paid in full. And so I look on down in verse number 23. The Bible says, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto him by unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, have security in that statement. Put that on mine account. It's not on me. It's on His. It's His account. It's not on what I can do. It's not on what I can supply. It's not on the times that I fail and don't. The Bible says that a just man falleth seven times. May I tell you that you're going to fall, you're going to fail, but it's not on that. There's security of the statement. But then as well, I think about the support of the statement. You see, we're not cast out because we fall short. I know you say, preacher, I thought that was with the security. No, I look at that and I find that as the support. Back in verse number 17 of the book of Philemon, the Apostle Paul said, receive him as myself. This is our support. He says, receive him as myself. May I tell you, I always think about the case of Mephibosheth. And David wanted to show kindness to the family of Saul after Saul's death and after David was established king for several years. He comes and he asks Ziba, one of Saul's servants, he said, is there not one of Saul's house that I can show kindness to? And he says, there's one, it's Jonathan's son. Now listen, his name's Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth lives down in Lodabar, which means no pasture. And he says that, well, Mephibosheth, king, there's only one problem with Mephibosheth. He's lame. You see, when it was time for them to leave and depart and get out in a hurry, the nurse had picked him up and she dropped him. His legs are injured. He said, that's all right. You call him up from Lodabar where there's no pasture for him to find rest and you bring him into the king's palace. You say, preacher, what's so important about that? What's so big about that? You see, before David ever came to Jerusalem, all those that were sick and lame had to be removed. And they couldn't come before the king. But God showed kindness to us. He said, receive him as myself. May I tell you, there's something special about this. Because as much as Philemon accepted Onesimus on the word of Paul and received him as he would of Paul, may I tell you what God the Father does to us because his son said, put that on mine account. He receives us as if we're sons. Woo, I tell you, what a special time. And the fact that we can come to God the Father as one of His, because He said, receive Him as myself. But then I look on and I find in this support that He won't cast us out when we fall short because we're one of His and we're received as Himself. But He says, I'll repay it because He put His word on it in verse number 19. And I know I went ahead and read that tonight to you. But He said, I'll repay it. You want to talk about support? You want to talk about support? He's still there. I've always looked at John chapter number 6 and verse number 37 for the lost. The Bible says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I always thought of that verse as those that are coming in that lost condition. It doesn't matter how bad, and it does, it means that. It doesn't matter how bad or how wicked or just how miserable, how stinky. It doesn't matter. They come. He's not going to cast them out. He's going to receive them. He's going to accept them. He's going to save them to the uttermost. But you realize that once we're there, He still never casts us out, even when we fall short. Think about that prodigal son in Luke 15 and how he had departed. And he had asked the father, or actually he really demanded it more than anything. He said, give me that which is to fall on me. Give me my inheritance now. I know you're not dead and I know that, but go ahead and give me my inheritance. I could only imagine if Jacob and John would walk up to me, and Jeremiah is too young really to understand. He'd just follow along with them because the other two goofballs got him to come. And they said, all right, Dad, we know you're not dead, but this is what I want. And Jonathan's already told me he wants my Bible. I'm not dead yet, and I don't know how many more Bibles I'll have. This one's about to fall apart. I'm going to have to get another one. And you want to talk about dreadful. And then Jacob, boy, he's going to want this and that. And then Jeremiah goes, you know what? I want something too. And boy, let me have all of these things that are going to fall upon me. And I give it to them, and they go out and they waste it with their riotous living. And they come back. May I tell you, they'll still be my sons. I think about that prodigal son, how far he went, all that he had done. And then he comes wandering home one day, all stinky and smelly, all wore out by the world. And the father sees him afar off. And the Bible says that the father ran to him. He had stayed on that porch all those times. But now the father runs to him, grabs a hold of him, hugs his neck, and kisses him. The son said, I'm not even worthy to be one of your servants. I'm certainly not worthy to be a son. May I tell you the support in this? The Apostle Paul said, put that on mine account. It wasn't because of Onesimus. But then as well, it's to help him. Because that father said, hey, get one of the robes. No, don't just get one of the robes. Get one of the best robes and put it on him. Get a ring. That ring was a symbol of who he belonged to. Get that ring, put it back on his finger. Get some shoes, put them on his feet. Get the fatted calf, let's kill it, we're going to have a feast. May I tell you, that there's some times that we need some support. May I tell you where we can come running back to? That he's there all the time because he had already said, put that on mine account. You know the son just had to come back, and the account was still there. The account was still there. He didn't have it when he was in the pig pen, but he sure had it when he came back. It was right there for him. Oh, my dear friend. Oh, the value of a phrase. If there was one phrase that we could get a hold of, if there's one phrase that we could really grab onto, there's one phrase that we could really just treasure, is the fact that God said, put that on mine account. My salvation's not on me. It's on Him. He keeps me there. He put me there. He keeps me there. And I'll be there forever with Him. Oh, my dear friend, put that on mine account. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. I thank You for Your grace and Your mercy, Lord. The truth that You give us. Lord, I do praise You for this one truth that we looked at tonight. But Father, the value of it, and that it's on Your account. Lord, I rejoice in being saved. I rejoice in the fact that there's nothing but the blood. It wasn't because of me, but it was Your account. Lord, I pray You'd help us tonight to just grab a hold of it, treasure it, trust it, Lord, because it's You, Your Word, Your truth, and Your way. Lord, I pray. Maybe there's one that's lost and undone. Lord, they've never trusted You for their eternal salvation. Sure, they've prayed of some prayers. They've performed some works. But Lord, I pray that they would come tonight in truth and faith, Lord. Truly trusting, Lord, desiring to be saved by You. Not just to escape the punishment and sorry for the consequence of sin. But instead, Lord, sorry to be a sinner and want to be saved, Lord. Help us tonight to truly be honest with You and seek Your face. I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.